Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast, you'll learn 15 questions that you can ask in a conversation when you're getting to know someone. Ethan and I ask these questions to your new fluency coach so that you can get to know him better. And if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you can learn a little bit more about him, where he's giving you some tips on how to improve your English. So be sure to check that out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Aw yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
thrilling
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, mowing the lawn, or even
doing the gardening.
Aw yeah, I'm joined here in the global studio and the cross-Atlantic studio, first of all, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you. I'm very excited for today's podcast.
Me too. And the reason we're so excited, maybe if some of you have a very fine-tuned ear, you might have noticed the accent on our newest guest, who isn't actually a guest, but he is one of our newest fluency coaches here at Real Life English. And this is his debut podcast. So very warm welcome from the Real Life English podcast community to Ollie.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. Hi, Andrea. Hi, Ethan.
As I said, we are really looking forward. We just brought Ollie onto the team, and you're going to be seeing a lot more of him, hearing a lot more of him here on the podcast, on our videos on YouTube, on both Learning English with TV series and Real Life English, and pretty much everywhere else you find us, on Instagram, on TikTok, anywhere where you are sucking down our fantastic content. So, and we thought that a great way for you to get to know Ollie would be by putting him in the hot seat and asking him a bunch of different questions. And this will also be a great way for your English, for you to learn some questions that will help you to break the ice when you first meet someone.
What does it mean to break the ice?
So you break the ice, or you might even play icebreaker games when you first meet someone, because this is a really great way for you to get to know more about that person. And I'm not sure exactly what that comes from, but I suppose it's kind of like you feel like you have some sort of barrier between you and that other person that you have to break through, right?
Yeah, it also kind of makes me feel like maybe it feels a bit cold as well, because you don't really know that person and then you kind of warm up to them, and that way you're breaking the ice. That's kind of how I imagine it.
Yeah, that's a great use of that phrasal verb as well. People might have heard like to do a warm up, but to warm up to someone is kind of like to become warmer in that relationship with that person. So that said, we're really excited to get into putting Ollie on the hot seat, as I said. But first off, we have a shout out to a really great listener out there.
So today's shout out is from Hazmath, and I actually recognize this name. I feel like Hazmath is a bit of a super fan. I've seen some comments on YouTube, on Instagram and everything. So it's great that you've given us a shout out here. So we are shouting you out, and it says, saying thank you for the Real Life English podcast will never be enough. Once I started listening to this banging podcast, my English speaking and comprehending skills skyrocketed. When I compare myself speaking in English to a couple of years ago and me speaking English now, has a gigantic difference. You guys are truly a ray of sunshine. Thanks to Jillian for helping with my language learning. Aw yeah.
Aw yeah.
Well, Hazmath, or Hazmat, I'm not sure if you pronounce the TH, she, or I believe that's a she, right? Has some really fantastic expressions and adjectives and stuff that she used there. So what does it mean, a banging podcast?
Yeah, a banging podcast means an awesome podcast. Really good, really fun, exciting.
Awesome. And skyrocket, if someone's skills skyrocket?
To skyrocket means they increase or improve really fast.
Like a rocket shooting into the sky, right?
Like a rocket going into the sky.
And thanks, Jillian. Would you guys say that, or is that really American?
I would say it's American, but I definitely understand it. It's like saying thank you so much. Thanks a jillion. Thanks a million is another way you could say.
Exactly. It's kind of like a fun play on words on like thanks a million, thanks a jillion, thanks a bajillion. I hear people say as well.
And I think I've even heard gajillion as well, but it's the same in the UK. We say thanks a million, but not so much jillion, but it's a great way to emphasize it.
Exactly. So she's really been sharpening her English skills. So it's very impressive. And she left this comment over on the blog, on the show notes of one of our past podcasts. So that can be also a really great way. If you go to reallifeglobal.com and you click on podcasts, you can find the show notes of this podcast where you will find all of the vocabulary and resources that we'll talk about here. And while you're there, you can leave a comment and we might shout you out just like we did Hazmath. And you could also head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review there. And this is really fantastic because you help other learners from around the world to have fun learning English with us. Since we now have the English accent trifecta.
What's a trifecta?
Trifecta is like, I guess it's three of something that forms something really powerful, right?
Absolutely. You often hear trifecta in horse racing. You can make a bet for the trifecta, and if it's the first three horses to cross the line, you've won the trifecta.
I did not know that. I don't know anything about horse racing. So that's a pretty fun fact. So we thought that it would be great to take advantage of having an Aussie on the team to, before we jump into the main topic, learn a couple of authentic Australian idioms.
Yeah, so the first one is true blue. And you might hear somebody say to a person, "Oh, he is real true blue." And if somebody is true blue, it means they're a genuine person. They're very honest. They're very kind and full of compassion. Had you heard that one before?
I haven't heard it before, but it's a really nice one.
I feel like I have heard that, but I'm not sure I would know exactly what someone meant if they told me that I was true blue or if they told me someone else was true blue.
Yeah. And the other one I have for you today is she'll be right. And we often use this when you're a little bit worried about something and then one of your friends or your family will say to you, "She'll be right," and it means everything is going to be okay. So no stress, she'll be right, all is good.
It's so funny because we don't really tend to use in English like gender pronouns and stuff for something like that. In American English, I think in British English as well, you say "it'll be all right," right?
Mm-hmm.
But here in Aussie, you say "she'll be all right."
Yeah, we use "she" at the start.
Who is she?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, yeah, those are both sound like really great ones that if people find themselves down under that they can put to use right away. So thank you very much, Ollie, for bringing us some Australian culture. And we look forward to getting a lot more of it.
I'm very excited to share the culture and the love from down under.
Awesome. So now we're going to jump into today's main topic. As I said, we're going to put Ollie on the hot seat, which basically means that if someone is in the hot seat, you're going to ask them a lot of questions. You're going to put them on the spot. So we have 15 different questions. Hopefully we can get through all of them. It won't take us too long, but we do love the sound of our own voices, so you never know. The first question, I think, is an appropriate place to start, Ollie. So we've already said you're from Australia, but where exactly are you from in the great land down under?
Yeah, so I'm actually from a small town in the bush, about 2 hours north of Sydney and about an hour inland from the coast. It's a small mining town with a population of about 80,000 people.
That is quite small. I'm also from a small, like, former mining town, so that's quite a coincidence.
Funny, right?
Yeah. And you said you're from the bush, so does that mean like you live in a tree?
Maybe to you, but in Australia, the bush basically means any area outside of a major city, because Australia is a massive country, but we only have like 6 big cities. So anything outside of the city is kind of not very populated. So it's referred to as the bush. So anything outside of Sydney, Melbourne or Brisbane, is the bush.
So is that like what we would say the countryside or something like that in the UK?
Exactly.
Okay.
In the US, I think it also would be like in the country. Mm-hmm. That's quite interesting. I also had a friend who was living in South Africa in Cape Town. And she would tell me, like, I spent the weekend in the bush. So I'd already heard that before. But they also use that in South Africa.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. That's quite interesting. I don't know why that, I don't know if it's just like the former British colonies. I wonder where that came from originally.
It's interesting.
Sounds quite like African to me, like, because you never know what you're going to find. Like in the bush, I imagine you're just out there in the wild. You know, a lion might jump out at you, or a snake or something like that.
I know. Yeah.
Maybe it's the same idea.
Maybe. Could be.
So most of the team, Ollie, are language learners as well. So an interesting question that people might want to know is, how many languages do you speak?
Well, I think I sell myself short here.
What does that mean, to sell yourself short?
To sell yourself short means that you don't say you're as good as what you really are at something. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I learned Spanish, Portuguese, and French at university. But I would definitely say that I can speak English, obviously. Spanish, because I lived in Bolivia for 2 years. And I'm also living in Brazil now. So I'm okay at Portuguese. I can get by. And I can read in French, but I'm not very good at speaking. So I would say Spanish and a little bit of Portuguese. So 2.5.
There you go. And you said you can get by. What does that mean? You can...
Yeah, to get by is to basically, you're able to go to the bank, you're able to go to the doctors, you're able to do daily tasks independently. You don't need anybody to help you.
Yeah, it's a little bit like saying you can survive, right?
Exactly, you can survive.
Mm-hmm. And we might say that, for example, like if someone, they're not making a lot of money, but they're making enough to get by. So they're kind of like, they have the base that they need to pay their rent, to be able to get like the basic food and stuff, but not maybe for too many luxuries.
For sure.
All right. So my next burning question for you, Ollie, what's something interesting about you that most people don't know?
Well, most people might not know that I have lived in 5 countries.
Mm.
And I think that's pretty cool.
Maybe if they hear you speak 4 languages, maybe they'd have a clue there, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So I've lived in Australia, obviously. I spent 2 years in England when I turned 18. I've also done an exchange in France for, well, we say France actually, for 6 months. And obviously I've lived in Bolivia, as I said earlier, and right now I'm in Brazil.
How would you say that country, Andrea?
Yeah, I would say France. So you guys are the majority here. You say France.
Well, the funny thing is, if you're from Adelaide in Australia, which is one of the major cities in the south of Australia, they actually have more of a British accent. So they would say France. Oh. They would also say dance.
Yeah.
But where I'm from, we say France, dance, like the Americans, right?
There you go. Must be like maybe an East Coast, West Coast thing or something like that.
That's the same in the UK, because in the north of England, people would say it with this short ah sound as well. But in London and maybe some other cities in the south, we tend to have this elongated ah sound.
I think also in the States, there are certain parts like the south, for example, which they also have kind of more of a British sounding accent, that they'll also say like dance instead of dance.
Mm, interesting.
So do you have another burning question, Andrea?
Yeah, so often on this podcast, most of our listeners will know that Ethan and I really love to talk about food. We often sometimes get a bit distracted and sidetracked with talking about our favorite foods. So we would love to know, what's your favorite food?
Well, I can't go past seafood, because growing up, my mother and my father loved to have seafood in the house, prawns, oysters, different types of seafood. For Christmas especially, that's a tradition in Australia, to have seafood at Christmas. So I like anything with seafood, but my favorite dish is seafood risotto.
Nice. Risotto.
Seafood risotto.
Yeah, I would say seafood risotto. You might like, Andrea and I here, we get some pretty good seafood paella. Have you ever had that?
I have. I went to Spain maybe 10 years ago into the south. Malaga, I think that's one of the cities in the south. And I stayed with a family, and they had like this massive seafood paella. And it was just so delicious. Incredible.
It is. I definitely love me some paella.
You're very lucky.
Awesome. So what would you say, other than eating some delicious seafood risotto, what are your other favorite free time activities?
So I love to travel and meet new people. I think that's one of the things that I really enjoy about living overseas. You get to meet people, learn different languages and cultures. And I've also realized recently that I like to take pictures and film videos as memories of my traveling. So that's kind of like my hobby that I do outside of work. And
yeah, in fact, one of the reasons that you were such a great fit for our team is because you were already a bit of a YouTuber yourself.
Yeah, so during the pandemic last year, I kind of was just staying at home and working, and I wanted to create a hobby outside of just working. And I thought, why not make some videos? And yeah, I'm really happy with how it's going. I'm learning a lot, and it's led me to this fantastic job. So it's great.
Yeah.
So my next question for you is, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
That's a really good question. And I have two answers. So, well, actually I have three answers. Did you guys used to play like schools at home with your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I think that's probably like one of the games up there that every kid kind of plays. It's either like schools or like you play like you're at home, like mums and dads or something.
I've heard of like playing house, playing doctor. I don't know if I've heard of playing schools.
So playing schools is basically you pretend to be teachers and teach like fake students. It's quite funny. So we had really close friends who lived like around the corner from our house, and they would come over and we would go into different bedrooms in my house and pretend that like our house was a school. So I definitely wanted to be a teacher as one of the things growing up. But we also, I'm from a Catholic family, and we used to go to church quite often. And we all also used to play church at home in our big hallway. And we used to get bread and cut it into a little circle. So it was like the body of Christ. So I wanted to be a priest, but I quickly realized that maybe there's other opportunities out there.
Wow, that's amazing.
You said there was a third thing too, right?
Oh yeah. I used to catch the bus to school, and I was fascinated by how a person could drive a big long bus and not cause any damage. So I wanted, for maybe like 2 or 3 years, I wanted to be a bus driver.
So what made you decide to leave Australia?
Yeah. So people probably have gotten to know me a little bit already in this podcast, that I studied a few languages at university. I've lived in a few countries. I would consider myself a person of adventure. I like to meet new people, learn different cultures, learn languages, and eat food from around the world as well. So I basically moved from Australia to learn more about the world and appreciate other cultures and other people from different parts of the world.
Teaching English is such a fantastic way to do that.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's fantastic because you can go to almost anywhere in the world teaching English and be able to work and contribute to people's learning experience. But you can also, have the benefit of being able to travel and see different things that you can't see from where you're from.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I feel like until you actually do it or you actually try it, you don't realize how rewarding the job actually is. And then, yeah, it comes with lots of added benefits.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now, let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
So you mentioned, Ollie, that you've just moved to Brazil. So far, what's your favorite thing about Brazil?
That's a really difficult question. As you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So a lot of the places where you can go and have fun, like the culture, the museums, the bars, are closed. So I'm basing this on my experience of traveling through Brazil before. So I really love the diversity of the country in Brazil. The food is different in each state. The music is different. You have funk, which they normally do in Rio. You have pagode, which is another style of music. So it's not just pop music. There's so many different styles and types of music that people listen to. And I live with Brazilians, and they don't only listen to one style of music. They listen to various types of music. So I love the music. And particularly about the state I live in, it's called Minas Gerais. The people here are the most friendly and welcoming people ever. So basically, my housemate is cooking lunch and she'll say, "Ollie, come and eat with me." And I feel so awkward because I'm like, "Oh, I have nothing to offer you. I don't have any food, or I haven't cooked yet." And she's like, don't worry. It comes from my heart. So I find them really warm, welcoming, beautiful people.
Wow, you have totally sold Brazil. Like, I mean, I've wanted to travel there for a while. Unfortunately, I haven't been yet, but you've just made it sound even more like amazing.
Mm-hmm. And Rio de Janeiro is one of my favorite cities in the world. Ethan, you've been to Rio, right?
I've been to Rio. I used to live in Bahia. I had the same feeling about the people, that it's just like some of the kindest people that you could meet on earth. And I found it was one of the easiest places to like feel at home in, because just anywhere you go, like, people were always so welcoming, so including and everything, which I think in the US, if like you go somewhere, at least as an American being in the US and everything, if you go somewhere, there's a lot more awkwardness and stuff. And like in Bahia, it's like you go somewhere and maybe you go with like one friend, you don't know anyone else, you're with like a group of people, and everyone is just like so welcoming and everything, and asking questions and making you feel at home. So that was something I really liked as well. And Rio obviously is, it's famous for a reason. I think it's such a magical city. I mean, just like I was there last year, and I remember just like going running from Copacabana to Ipanema, and just like the views there are absolutely spectacular, just kind of these mountains rising out of the sea and everything. And it has definitely a very special vibe to it.
Yeah, you could say the views are out of this world, which means they are incredible.
So would you say that out of this world or out of this world?
Out of this world.
How about you, Andrea?
I'd probably say out of this world, so with a glottal T.
All right. So what is one thing about language learning in all of your adventures? I think you mentioned like that in French, maybe you had some sort of more of a failure, so to speak. So is there anything about language learning that you wish you'd known 5 to 10 years ago?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. French was the first language that I learned. And unfortunately, I didn't realize that going to class and not doing anything else was not going to get me fluent in the language. So I definitely learned, for when I learned Spanish, that you can't just go to class and do nothing outside. Learning a language requires you to do something every day, whether it be 10 minutes, whether it be 15 minutes, or actually taking a class or watching some of our YouTube videos. But it requires some effort every day. It's not something that comes easy. It's something that it requires hard work and dedication.
Mm-hmm. I think like something you were saying before, maybe you noticed like some difference learning Portuguese or French. I know this was kind of like the same thing for me the first time I learned a language, and maybe for me now, is you were saying that it requires that dedication, and that dedication is so much easier when you have the motivation, when you're like really passionate about aspects of that culture and the language. So you were saying like for Portuguese, for example, the music, that you really love hearing the music. And I think when you fall in love with music in a language, it almost becomes really easy, because you just, if you can listen to the music all day long, you just have your headphones in everywhere you're going, you're listening to music. You almost absorb it in some sense, and you become much more curious, you know, about, you know, what do these lyrics mean, and maybe starting to sing along when you can and everything. I definitely know for me, like back when I had to learn language in school, it's like I would go to class 3 days a week, and you know, you'd have like the hour. German was my first one in high school, and I'd go there 3 days a week, and you know, Then outside of that time, I wasn't getting in touch with the culture at all, which obviously at that time, I didn't really know how to do that. But I think also just the teacher maybe wasn't the greatest at kind of showing us those resources and everything that we could maybe start getting passionate about doing that in our free time. And nowadays, I know that that's like such an important ingredient in the recipe of learning a language.
Yeah, I don't think when I was learning French, I understood what type of learner I was. And I also did Spanish at university, but I didn't really give it as much dedication as what I should have. But as soon as I went to Bolivia back in 2019, I realized what type of learner I was. And I'm a learner by doing and surrounding myself in that type of environment, making friends who spoke Spanish. Listening to music. I love cumbia music. I'm not sure if you've heard of that in Spain.
I have heard of it, but I can't think right now of what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's really popular in Mexico, in Bolivia. So I kind of fell in love with the cumbia music, and now I can sing songs in Spanish.
That's amazing.
I'm not going to.
Not yet.
Maybe that kind of leads very well into my next question. Maybe this is your answer, or maybe you have another answer, but I was wondering, are there any language learning methods that you've tried lately that have worked well?
Yeah, absolutely right. Obviously living in Bolivia with my Spanish helped. I find it really useful if I read the news about Australia in Spanish, for example. There's a TV channel or a news program channel called SBS in Australia, and it's kind of like BBC Mundo, BBC World, where they have different languages that you can read the news in. So I find that because I already know about the Australian news from listening to it in English or reading it in English, I can then go over in and read it in Spanish or Portuguese, and I already know what's going on, so I kind of can guess and make judgments on the words and the verbs that I'm learning because I already know about the story.
That's a really great tip.
I think like what you're saying too about knowing what kind of language learner you are, I think that's such an important part as well, is like getting to know yourself and how do you learn best and what are the things that you need to make yourself successful.
Yeah, especially also what you can be consistent with, because if you're going to try a method that you're really not into, it's probably not going to work. So finding ways that you enjoy more, that's going to make you do it every day so that you're consistent, and then that's really going to help you to progress.
Yeah, I think too, something else interesting you said is I bet a lot of people might be listening and thinking, well, you know, that's great for you three, and all of us live outside of our home countries and everything. And but I can't, you know, go live outside of my home country. I have family, or I can't afford it, or whatever is the case. But you're kind of like giving a great example that now you're living in Brazil, but you're still maintaining your Spanish by doing things. You were showing me the other day that you're reading a book of short stories in Spanish and like reading the news about Australia in Spanish, and when you could easily read it in English. And there's all sorts of things that you can do to immerse yourself in the language, even when you're not living in a country where that language is natively spoken.
Absolutely. You nailed it.
What does that mean?
It means you did it correctly. You said it correctly.
Yeah. We might say too, you hit the nail on the head, right? It probably comes from that. So veering off a little bit from the topic of language learning, probably, if there were anyone in the world, dead or alive, that you could have dinner with, who would you choose?
Do you know what? This is a really hard question. I'm not sure if you find it.
It is. I do.
When I was thinking about this question, it took me a long time. I was like, who do I actually want to have dinner with? And then I thought, oh, maybe Justin Bieber or someone like that. And I thought, no, I can't say Justin Bieber. So I've gone with John Oliver.
Okay.
And the reason I went with him is because I love his TV show, Last Week Tonight. And whenever he's interviewed by other people, I love watching his interviews because he's a storyteller. He just makes like the most awkward situations really funny. So I would love to have dinner with him and just listen to him tell me stories about his life, because he's such an interesting person. He's originally from the UK, but now he has this TV show in the US. He's now a US citizen as of, I think he's been a US citizen for a year. And he's just really funny, and I like funny people.
I can totally agree with you there. I think like, especially if you have to sit through a whole dinner, maybe you'd pick someone from, I don't know, you pick Abraham Lincoln or someone like that, that seems more admirable, but maybe you'd be like dead bored during the entire dinner. You'd be better off with someone that's going to make you laugh.
Yeah, 100%.
Although maybe Justin Bieber's going to be listening to this podcast. You never know. And he's going to feel insulted that you didn't want to have dinner with him.
Follow me, Justin.
Your dinner might turn into a yummy video.
Yeah. I like that.
So we're getting a little bit deeper now. And my next question is, what's something that makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
Yeah, again, this is a difficult question, but I wanted to bring it back to me living abroad and the fact that I've been living abroad for 2 years now, abroad overseas. And without having family here, you really need to rely on your friends as your support network. And I've been lucky enough to live with some really great people, and they're the people that inspire me to be my best self. They challenge me. They help me stay focused. And because they were English teachers too, we always encouraged each other, helped each other to learn more and to give the best lessons that we could. So definitely my friends who I've lived with overseas are getting emotional here. Yeah.
That's amazing. It does make such a difference though. I mean, I've lived in Barcelona for 7 years, and sometimes when you're traveling as well, it's hard to make friends, you know, that you really gel with or that stay as well, because especially Barcelona, it's a city where people are coming and going all the time. So it's really sad sometimes because you make such good friends and then they move away. So I definitely can empathize with you on that one.
Yeah, I think too, when I was younger, when I was traveling more as well, and I would live with like all sorts of different people as well. Like I think some of my best experiences in different places had largely to do too with like who I was living with at that time and everything. And I think certain experiences that I had abroad, like they were such like incredible periods of my life just because I was living with these people who would push me in different ways, who would teach me different things and everything, just like you said. So I think definitely think that that can be so valuable, especially in these times that we're spending more time at home than ever. It's like I feel so bad, like, you know, people who are single or if they're like living with someone that they didn't get along with or anything, I think it would just be torture. So I'm glad to hear that you're not the case there.
Yeah, absolutely. And living in this city in Brazil, one of my friends who studied with me 5 years ago lives here, so we've kind of reconnected our friendship, and it's really special to you know, have a close friend who you can rely on and you can trust when your family is so far away.
It's essential, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So we just have a few more. So my next one is, if you could do anything to improve English education in the world, what would it be?
Yeah. So I would make sure that everyone has access to dynamic materials and resources so that the lessons are fun and not overly grammatical, because I think that, you know, the traditional way of learning is with a textbook, learning the grammar. And I think that, yeah, grammar is important, but it's not the be all and end all. And that means it's not the most important thing. So yeah, definitely trying to make resources dynamic. And when I was in the classroom and when I'm teaching kids and teenagers in particular, I like to get them out of their chairs and into the middle of the room, running around, and not just sitting at a desk working from a textbook.
Yeah, I totally agree. In any type of education, whether it's learning a language or in schools right now, there are many that we've spoken about it before that are quite dated. And it's the same, like when we're teaching in primary schools, we don't just teach grammar explicitly that much, you know, unless we have to, we might spend 20 minutes a week or something going over some grammar rules. But through teaching other subjects and different topics and things like that, you can get all that in. And that way it's more inspiring, it's less boring, and, you know, you're not stuck with a textbook. You can make it a lot more dynamic with the group.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like you were saying before, Ollie, it's like you just have to sometimes be a little bit creative, like finding those things that, what are you already doing? Do you read the news every day? It's like, okay, start reading it in English. And like anything like that, that you can start just turning anything into an opportunity to be improving your skills, then maybe the study time of like sitting down to study grammar and to memorize conjugations and all the irregulars and the exceptions and everything doesn't become so necessary because you're absorbing it in more natural ways.
Exactly. And like when I'm reading the news in Spanish, I'm focusing, I'm not just reading the news, I'm focusing on what verb tense they've used, I'm focusing on what nouns, that the collocations they use together. So it's more than just reading, it's also taking note of, you know, new words and the structure of the sentences as well, because they are authentic newspaper articles.
Most certainly.
Those are definitely some great ideas. And leading on to my next question, I would like to know what's something that you're really curious about right now?
Yeah, again, another good question. These questions are just really, they're really deep. I like it. But I would say I'm curious about cooking and trying different recipes at the moment, because I am quite a simple chef. I'm happy with some chicken and some vegetables. But last year I did the, do you know the body coach?
Oh yeah. Joe Wicks, right?
Joe Wicks, the body coach. Yeah. So last year, halfway through last year, being in lockdown, I needed to, cause I like going to the gym. I like exercising. So I signed up for his 90-day plan. This plan is about fitness, and about, meals and stuff like that. And he introduced me to so many different, recipes and easy ways of cooking. Like, cooking is not difficult. If you have a recipe and you like cooking, then it doesn't have to be difficult to try different foods.
I think that's like something, it's one of those things that everybody should know at least some basics of, but it's like not taught in school. A lot of people's parents won't teach it to them. Maybe a lot of people's parents don't even know how to cook that well. Like, something I admire my mom a lot for is that when my brother and I, when we were like teenagers, she basically started saying to each of us that one day a week we would have to like find some recipe we wanted to cook. She would get everything that we needed at the store, and then, you know, we'd be responsible for one meal a week. And that was really great, because like both of us as teenagers, we kind of started, we got that interest first of all in like cooking and like seeing like, oh, I can do this, and starting to see it more as something, especially because I remember when I was young, it's just like, I really like the experimental part of it. So like, you know, trying to throw in new spices to see like what it would make it taste like and stuff. And I don't know, maybe my family was quite, you know, supportive in putting up maybe with some things that probably tasted a little bit weird, but I think like being able to kind of put on that curiosity side of it and everything from a young age. And then by the time it's different, maybe in the US than in a lot of other countries, but most of us go away for university. And so it's really helpful to know how to cook, because that way you don't end up just eating a lot of processed foods and stuff. So it's definitely something I was very grateful to my mom for, that from a fairly early age, she kind of like cultivated an interest in cooking in myself and my brother. So I think it's definitely that thing. It's like, if you're just open to experimentation, you're open to making mistakes, then it's like really easy. Print out a recipe and try it out. Give it a go.
Yeah. And if you fail the first time, don't give up. Keep going. It's like English learning, right? Experiment.
Yeah, it's like, it's so similar too. It's like, if you give the same mindset, it's like, okay, I might burn something. It's like when you go to have a conversation for the first time in English, you might burn something. You might make like a mistake or something, but keep at it, you know, and the next time you'll make the recipe right. All right. So to wrap it up, I think people have gotten to know you quite well. You might even have to like send this to some of your family members so they can get reacquainted with you or something. They'll probably like learn new things.
Don't worry, they're going to be getting everything from me.
As people listening to this podcast may or may not know, as a company here at Real Life English, our vision is to create a world beyond borders, which obviously you've been getting to know very well in the last week, Ollie. So in your own words, what would you say that it means for you to create a world beyond borders?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me to create a world, in my own words, a world without borders is someone who lives in Indonesia being able to connect with someone who lives in Croatia, or someone who lives in the Philippines being able to connect with someone in Russia. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and ignorance in our world these days between us misunderstanding cultures and not really understanding the ways different people live. So I think that creating a world without borders where people can communicate and talk to each other to not only share life experiences, but to create greater understanding is something that for me means a world without borders, where people are closer connected and there's more understanding between people.
Totally. I think that like we were talking about the news and everything, and I mean, a lot of the media out there, it's just so like misconstrued. It's so biased, you know, that you're not necessarily getting the story straight. And you know, if you can actually talk to people from another country, if you start to make friends from around the world and stuff, that you can actually ask them, I don't know, like, you heard that in Russia, like, such and such thing happened. If you actually, like, knew someone from Russia, that you could actually ask their opinion about it or their point of view on it, like, that might be a lot better way to actually get at the heart of it than, like, hearing some media report on it, which might really be quite biased. It might be, like, construing it in some way that's trying to give you a certain emotion or something like that, that's trying to put your head in a certain way. So if you can kind of go to the source, it's much better.
Absolutely. And it goes back to, some people from back home in Australia always ask me, oh, what's Bolivia like? What's Brazil like? Is it dangerous? Like, you know, so I think people back home in Australia, they don't understand Brazil and Bolivia. So if we can create more understanding between people through sharing stories and experiences, then I think we're on our way to creating a world without borders.
Totally. This has definitely been a fascinating conversation. It's been great to get to know you a bit better, Ollie. And hopefully it's been useful also to listeners to obviously get to know the new fluency coach. But at the same time, you can use these questions if you're having a conversation. If you need an icebreaker, you can just kind of tweak them to your own purpose and everything. So hopefully you've taken some notes and you'll be hearing a lot more of Ollie. If you want to get another English learning tip that Ollie's gotten on his journeys across different countries and teaching English, you're going to find one exclusively over on our Instagram at reallife.english. So be sure to check that out because you'll have a lot of fun with that and it'll be really useful for you. So thanks so much for joining us today and we'll see you next week on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.